Welcome to the Self-Storage Lab, where we deconstruct how operators are adapting to today's technology-driven landscape and how it might impact your business. Today's episode will be the final episode on our special series covering our report on the state of technology in self-storage. We discuss our main takeaways from analyzing over 2 million customer conversations used to optimize day-to-day operations and cover topics including patterns in customer inquiries, most frequently asked about unit sizes and amenities, and much more. If you haven't already, go download the second edition of our industry report directly on our website. We cover a ton of data points focused on how operators should think about putting the modern customer at the center of their universe. Let's begin.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. Like just to kind of start surface level or from a 40,000 foot view, obviously we collect data from, you know, what we call Store Finder. This is a database of, you know, all of the locations in our system, but we also, you know, grab information from the conversations that we're having with customers. And this is typically bucketed into two different types of conversations. You have a service-related conversation and a sales-related conversation. What's interesting is when you look at those two buckets, sales versus service, on the aggregate across all 4,200 of our locations, it's pretty clear that service-related inquiries are around 70% of the things that come through. And it makes sense. You know, if you think about industry occupancy rates, there's going to be more existing customers than the amount of potential customers that could fill those occupant or unoccupied units. And so when we look at, you know, kind of high level topics of conversation, you know, managing account, somebody wanting to make a bill payment, somebody wanting to update their payment settings, you know, maybe enroll in auto pay. These are things that are one of the most frequented style conversations that come into our platform. This is a huge win for operators. You know, the ability to not have to field a phone call, the ability to not have to have a human engaged with something that is, you know, helping put money in the bank, pretty awesome. You know, next level things that are kind of in our top five, these are ones that are, or at least the next two, these are typically things that are high purchase intent. So somebody wanting to find storage near me, right? This could be anything. Do you have a 5x5? Somebody just checking inventory versus, you know, what's the closest facility to my zip code or postal code if you're north of the border in Canada. We love our Canadian brethren. I know we have a big presence of people that listen to us overseas too. So I know, and Jenna, you have all the codes and all the different various types of ways that we locate locations. But one of the third one, like of a topic, was the one that's kind of the most interesting to me. And we'll break all this stuff down, get kind of nerdy around timing of messages throughout the day. But rental agreement information. So people wanting to understand lease terms. And what was interesting here is that not only is this like the third most frequented style topic or bucket of conversation, but a lot of times people are wanting to understand, you know, length of stay questions. And so I think the assumption that we can draw from that is that we have a lot of new self-storage customers coming in wanting to understand the product, right? And they're choosing to go into these chat channels, whether it be Google Business Profile chat, whether it be SMS messaging or, you know, web chat, and say, you know, hey, do you offer, I'm a student, I need somewhere to store my stuff for the couple of months that I'm in summer vacation. You know, do you offer month-to-month leasing? Do you offer a 2-month discount if I store for the entire summer? And that was kind of one of the things that kind of stood out to me around kind of the general topics of conversation. Any other kind of standout things from there before we start diving into, you know, more nerdy buckets and slides here?
Yeah, I kind of just want to piggyback off of what you were just saying around duration. Because we do have a slide in the report around that, and it is really short times, like 2 or 3 months. And I was looking last night. I mean, the report is mainly around 2022 data. I was looking last night at some of our 2023 data, and those time periods got even shorter. It was like monthly, 2 month, 3 month, even a week was above people asking about storing for a year, which is very surprising since we mainly are, like you were just saying, helping existing customers that we would imagine have more of a long-term lease. That's kind of what is unique or different about our data, is because it seems like people are coming in and asking if they have these lengths, not, hey, can you help me with my year-long lease? So I don't know, just probably not the data that maybe another, that like an operator themselves would report on, but that's what we're seeing.
All right, let's start digging into some of the nitty gritty. You know, from a high level, maybe it makes sense to start at, you know, just how often are people messaging us, and, you know, when are they messaging us? You know, who wants to kind of get to dig into some of that stuff?
I can do that. So there is like a whole section in the report that breaks down when our incoming messages are coming through. And I know during our last episode, we briefly touched on the hours during the day that messages are coming through. So again, really hard to describe a graph if you guys aren't looking at it, but we're seeing that majority of messages are coming through from like 3 o'clock to midnight. So really those after hours conversations that operators should keep in the back of their mind, of either automating that or potentially hiring people to be available during those hours. Anything you guys want to add there before I keep going on?
No, keep going around time of day. I've got some, you know, thoughts around our frequency of incoming messages by day of year. But, you know, feel free to keep moving through some of these slides, Jenna.
Okay. So you have thoughts around by day of year. The slide that I had the most thoughts around was incoming messages by season. So in the report and in 2022, there wasn't a huge discrepancy really between the seasons, but spring was a slight front runner, followed by summer and fall, and then finally winter. But when I was looking at the data for 2023, I'm actually seeing that we're getting a lot, or we got a lot more messages in the fall. And then that was followed by summer, winter, and spring. And so that got me thinking, right? Because like it's one thing to grab the numbers and create a chart, but then in my mind, that just opens like a lot more questions of like, well, what happened? Is this the trend? Is this a break from the trend that has actually been happening over the last couple of years? And so some things that I thought of or that came to mind was that, you know, a lot of economists predicted a recession at some point in 2023. So very possible that that influenced people to pack up their stuff and downsize, or just move in general. And then we also had a lot of natural disasters. We had $28 billion natural disasters in the U.S. But that was strictly in the U.S. And so that could have led to people needing temporary storage solutions due to a hailstorm, a fire, a flood, anything like that. And then same thing with students, like you were just talking about, Mason, that, you know, our college students more, you know, taking classes online and not needing the storage because they're moving from their dorm back to their parents' house. So just a couple of things that came to mind around the seasonality and of popularity.
Yeah, the only other thing that I would add there that is a potential correlation to seeing an increase in the fall with our data specifically, Jenna, is, you know, we did introduce new channels for customers to communicate. And so there was more entry points available for customers, right? And so there might be some, it's not bias, but some type of a, like basically we added data to that last quarter, right? That wasn't present in the year-over-year data. And so it'll really, assuming that we stay keep the same amount of channels open moving forward. It might be interesting, you know, in next year's version of this podcast to look back and compare that too. But the thing that I was like really interested in, kind of like our frequency charts, I just love this chart because it's one of those things like when you look from January 1 to December 31st, and I'm looking specifically, this is slide 67 of our report, of the incoming messages by day of year. It's like so clear without even looking at the bottom of like which days are the first of the months or in the 15th of the month, because you have these like spikes, right? And I looked at data that we've compiled for our global analytics at January, and it really covers all of the last like 13 months of data. And we talked about kind of managing account, paying bill being one of the top intents that comes into our platform. You know, we assisted over 50,000 people specifically navigating them to paying their bill online in 2023. And that's kind of cool. Like 50,000 people came into Swivel, said, hey, can you help me pay my bill? And we took them to an account login page, you know, popped up the chat, said, hey, it's really easy to pay your bill. Log in over here on the left and go forth and be in good standing with your self-storage operator, right? And so anyways, I really love that chart.
That's kind of crazy to think about not only people coming in and wanting to pay, but we, you know, within our kind of, like you were saying, within our different types of channels that we use and an operator chooses to use, there are also ways of having Swivel automatically reach out to people to kind of complete that action. So I'm assuming, you know, that is coming into play there and will come into play whenever we're looking at this year's data, or I guess last year's data as well.
Yeah. So kind of moving out of the kind of frequency of time and kind of looking at some of the overarching, again, most of the conversational data that we included in the report is like, you know, 40,000 foot view of our data sets. You know, Jenna, I don't know if you have specific things that you wanted to look at from like a global analytics perspective, but you know, kind of some of these next ones is around like phrases, words that come up. And my absolute favorite slide, like proud papa moment, is like the top phrases that come up. And the reason that I like love this slide is like the number one phrase by almost double that we see come into our system is thank you. And, you know, I love that because, you know, 2 or 3 years ago in the industry, people were like, oh, our chatbot's going to work. You know, how good is your system? Is it happening? You know, what's this thing about? You know, we automate 81% of or above 81% of everything that comes into our model. And the fact that people say thank you so often, again, at double the most second frequented phrase in the entire database, I think is just like a proof point that not only are customers okay with talking to an automated system, but that the system's doing its job. And so I love that one, obviously, kind of self-serving in a little bit. Among the other ones we've already touched on is like pay bill. And then, you know, discount codes, gate access codes are up there. And then somebody wanting to talk to a human, right? They've got an issue or a problem that they really want to, you know, connect to a live person, which is totally good. You know, our system allows for that too.
Yeah. Again, just comparing 2022 to 2023, I was looking, we have a slide called One Word Wonders, which is just strictly the singular words that came through. And honestly, it was pretty similar to last year, but the one that stood out to me was that we saw a higher frequency of the word code than rent, which I think just goes hand in hand with what we've been saying, that it seems like we're assisting more customers than necessarily getting people in the chat that are looking to shop just because of those occupancy rates, but definitely more popularity and people looking for their gate code or their unit number right away and right in the chat, which is great that we're able to provide that to them.
I just think in general, this is really neat, as you know, we're kind of, this episode specifically is super nerdy, but giving marketing teams and day-to-day ops teams the ability to get granular with this type of data to really understand, you know, at a day-to-day hourly rate, like what people are asking about from, you know, all the way from Google to through a text message, through your website, and really dive into that data to really understand what your customers are wanting at the moment, and then being able to aggregate all that is so valuable. Like you can use that for you know, projecting needs to paid ad campaigns, to SEO, to all these things outside of just, you know, obviously delivering a phenomenal customer service. And I'm just listening to you guys and looking at the report again. I'm in awe. So this is awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to keep going down the like kind of global analytics that we're not even showcasing in this report. You know, we're really excited about the third edition of this, even though we're just like getting the second edition into people's hands. But, you know, I'm looking at kind of what are people storing, right? And in just the month of January, and this is for 2024, you know, we had about, 6,000 people look at our inventory carousel. You know, close to 88% of people are looking for space storage. So they're looking for a unit, whether that be a 5x5, you know, the most frequented unit size, I believe, is a 10x10 that people are specifically searching for. I'm still kind of shocked, and I know we work with like RV and parking operators, like which that's all they like offer is like a vehicle storage. But across our entire portfolio, just in the month of January, like having it a almost 12% of those people coming in to view vehicle storage kind of boggles my mind a little bit. I'm assuming this is a second car. I'm assuming this is, you know, that RV that, you know, maybe it's the winter months. You're not traveling around the country from national park to national park or something. I think that's pretty cool to showcase.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting. Like I was meeting with one of our RV and boat customers the other day, and like there's a difference there. Like they stand out from some of the other operators, right? So on our slide called the topics of conversation, I was seeing more popularity of people asking about specific features than asking about pricing, like that potentially they care more about certain feature than a certain price. Like, hey, I need my RV to be in an enclosed space. It cannot just be in something that's covered. So that's interesting as well. But yeah, definitely seeing the highest frequency of when people are talking about items that they need to store, it's more so vehicles than somebody coming in and saying, hey, I have 10 boxes, or I need to store a fridge or a bed, which is surprising.
Yeah, I want to key in on the difference of the consumer, like for lack of a better term, persona, right? Somebody that's storing a vehicle versus somebody that's storing stuff. Like they shop different, right? Which is what you're getting at, right? The like people that's storing stuff, like the highest, and I think this is probably pretty obvious in the industry, like the two obvious like key characteristics in a decision process for a consumer is how far away is this location from me. I mean, I literally store walking distance from my house to store some stuff. Whereas when you're storing that boat or that RV, you know, the distance from your home is not necessarily the number one criteria, right? To your point, Jenna, it's, do you have a dump station? Do you have somewhere where I can charge my RV, you know, where you can plug in? And so it's that features and amenity set. And so those personas around that customer journey into a purchase, I think, is something that's really unique that, you know, maybe even your call center live people agents, you know, don't identify immediately. And our system is doing that and trying to adjust the way that it showcases inventory in a way that matches that persona's shopping habits, right? one of the, just to kind of piggyback on that, you know, I spoke at a panel in Florida around AI and automation, and, you know, Rodolfo, me and you have talked about this for years together. You know, there's this trend in AI today that is, you know, or it's been here for a decade, but big data, right? The ChatGPTs of the world, the Geminis from Google, basically, you know, how big can a generalized data set become, you know, in the sense of ChatGPT or GPT-4, I think it was, you know, 75 billion parameters. You know, I think what we just kind of touched on, you know, kind of brings it back to that small data. It's about my data. It's about the individual and kind of coming back and saying, well, we know that Mason is shopping for a specific style of storage. Like, let's make sure that we're adjusting the way we engage with him. And it's not necessarily based off of this like big, humongous data set. It's really based off of, you know, Mason's trends, the way that he does things. And, you know, I'm really excited to see that progress over the next, you know, 12 to 24 months.
Yeah, and I think like giving people the options, right, to search, to just about everything. I think that we're seeing that across even our platform, right? Like people want to choose the way that they interact or communicate with their preferred storage vendor, and the same on the other side, right? I think more and more operators are starting to get on that train of thought and really start implementing, you know, that being avenues to interact with their customers, or even the amenities that they're promoting for their facilities to differentiate themselves from the one across the street. I think it all comes down to personalization, at least trying to get as close as possible to that. So going on to customer needs, slide 72, I think kind of we already touched on some of this stuff, but like you're mentioning earlier, Jenna, a lot of people ask about gate codes. Really about, you know, that could be they forgot their gate code or their, you know, access code or unit number, to just in general inquiring about that topic in general. They're really worried about the security about of the facility, of their belongings. We see that a lot, specifically by adding our gate code feature, being able to deliver that securely. I think we did see an increase in those type of interactions after we released that feature. Do y'all remember how much we've already helped save on that end from an operator perspective?
I'm not entirely sure of the dollar value, but I know that in the latest version of the platform, we are now tracking exactly how many gate codes we find when people ask about them. And then the ones that we aren't able to send because the account is past due or inactive. And then the ones that we actually do send through text and through email. And I want to make a comment on this slide as well. So looking at 2023's data, I was actually seeing that the top customer needs were move out and moving out, which I think just in having conversations with our customers, I think that like the move out process really differs. Like I had somebody bring up to me the other day that like, hey, you guys are able to text our customers. It would be great if you could take over the like text move out thing that our live agents have to handle right now, because the only qualification for somebody to move out is return your key and send a picture of your empty unit. So I found that interesting that was number one for last year. Also, Mason, I'm going to defer to you here, but I know that with the launch of the Swivel Cortex, you spent a lot of time going in and adding what on my side, I'm seeing them as the like built-in models. So first of all, you made my life difficult because a lot of that stuff came through differently than it did the year before. But just really, it gets down into the nitty gritty of like the difference between dates, date ranges, date times, date time ranges. So I didn't analyze it too much, but I did just see a lot of like urgency in the most frequent words that are being used there. So like today, tomorrow, right now, ASAP. So that's not surprising, but I don't know if you have anything to like add about that.
That's a solid point, Jenna. It's mostly like being able to your point of like urgency, right? If we compare this to the airline industry or even the e-commerce industry, I know they're completely different, but at least I guess the closest thing is an airline industry because you're scheduling something in the future for the most part, or tomorrow or later today, et cetera. Very similar, at least on the storage side, where you're also trying to reserve or schedule a unit at some point in the future. I think that has been capability that for the most part has been missing from our platform, being able to get granular and understand somebody saying, hey, I'm looking to reserve a unit in, you know, today is February, you know, 22nd. And I'm looking to reserve March 1st. Can we do that through a conversation, be able to pull that inquiry apart and be like, okay, great. Like they're looking for a March 1st start. Are there any units available or that are going to be available during that time? Be able to actually pull that request and present it in a conversational manner to the end customer. And I think there is a lot of urgency whenever we're talking like on the product side, product team to continue to innovate and push the boundaries as to, you know, what we're presenting conversationally, since our platform is a conversational AI platform. So I'm excited, Mason. I don't know if you have any, you know, obviously orchestrating all that.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, like we just published our version 5 model. I know we've probably touched on this a couple of times in recent podcast episodes, but if you haven't go checked out our webinar that where we introduced the Swivel Cortex, like two of the big areas that this most recent model was focused is the machine learning understanding date and time and location, right? Because to your point, Jenna, we see people utilizing very specific date, time periods and locations in the way that they're asking the system to do something. And so, you know, it's important, like, hey, we know that some very high percentage of consumers want to rent and move in the same day, right? They come online, they're looking for a 10 by 10 and they're asking, do you have this unit available today for me to move in? And so our ability to recognize that, you know, help create the inquiry, help create the reservation to match that is important. Same thing for moving out, right? Like somebody that says, hey, I moved out of my unit yesterday, like I would like my bill prorated. You know, all those things are pretty important. And so it's really cool to see the system continue to learn and get better. And to the point that you've made, Jenna, you know, that means that our data is coming in more complex formats. So comparing it sometimes year over year or even month over month is difficult because the system's getting better, right? It's getting more granular at understanding these things. And so, you know, kind of going back to my point, you know, this second edition is just the tip of the iceberg for us. I mean, I know even in the last month and a half, the amount of analytics that we're getting out of the system has probably tripled, if not, you know, 4x'd. In January of this year, we had close to 80,000 conversations in the month of January. You know, that's amazing to see that, you know, increase in frequency, the increase in volume, and then the amount of data that we're getting, pulling out of what's happening within our conversations. How many times are we going out and creating a lead within the facility management systems that we're integrated into? How many times are we showcasing inventory and getting somebody to reserve now? You know, it's just really cool to see the progression from, you know, if you go back and look at our first edition of the report to even the second edition and what we're going to be planning for our third edition, you know, and, you know, 12 to 16 months from now.
AKA Jenna, you and your team are going to have a lot of fun going through all that and building that next set.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, like, you know, to touch on that, we don't include this at all in our second edition report because, you know, we really only had like 2 months worth of data. But in 2023, we introduced some reputation management style features, right? And so not only are we having conversations with customers, but we are, you know, going out and soliciting reviews. We're gating that review, trying to get you a promoter, pushing that over to Google. We're doing sentiment analysis when somebody's giving us a detractor or a passive review. We're doing that per location, et cetera. And so there's some really exciting data that, you know, I know, Jenna, you've gotten your hands dirty on recently that we didn't even have when we were, you know, drafting up these versions of the industry report this year.
Yeah. I was really just getting into that last week. It's difficult right now to track, you know, when we text someone or send them a Google review link and then to figure out if they actually left the review because, you know, oftentimes we don't have link tracking, but also Google allows you to just use any name that you'd like. It doesn't have to necessarily match what's on your storage account. But with that being said, I am attempting to match these up. And I would say that in 2023, looking at the numbers here, like we can contribute about 400 Google reviews to our text messages and email conversations and chats. So I think that's really cool. It's a pretty powerful number and, you know, we hope to see it continue to grow.
Yeah. And it's not even just the number that we're collecting, right? It's actually the, for an operator's perspective, the value as well too, right? Meaning that, you know, we're getting more reviews, but we're getting more positive reviews, right? Because we're, the way that we're collecting them is a way that like has increased your average rating from like what at least one of our operators that has, you know, hundreds of locations. I think pre-Swivel was averaging somewhere in like the 2-star rating, and post-Swivel, like they're averaging like a 4-5-ish. And again, Jen, I'm kind of ballparking numbers if you know those specific numbers, but I know we're in that like mid-4 range. And so you're seeing an increase in your star rating in Google. You're seeing an increase in your response time, et cetera. All these things really helping drive not only conversion, but more customers coming to your page. So traffic to your website as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I don't have that exact rating for you, but something else that I was looking at. So when we connect to a customer's Google review account, we get all past reviews, those replies, how long it took the business to reply and everything. And so that's something that I'm hoping to include in the next report as well is, hey, how long on average did it take people to reply when they were going through Google and having to, you know, manually type out a reply versus using our platform and being able to pretty much just click a button and have it be done for them. So that'll be an interesting number as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, as you can tell, like we've got a lot of really cool information in this, you know, second edition of our industry report. And, you know, we're obviously already giddy about the next edition of this. I don't know if anybody has any like kind of closing thoughts or things that they thought was interesting, but, you know, I'll throw out a, you know, if there are things that you guys as an industry, as an operator in, you know, specific spaces here, you know, want to know next year. You know, we're all ears. Like we get a lot of information coming through. You know, we're really excited about kind of hearing what you guys want us to do next. You know, some things that like I'm really excited to do for the third edition. You know, right now most of the data that we're presenting in the second edition is all aggregate across all of our portfolio. So we're really excited to start breaking that down. As I mentioned, the model starting to understand location. So, you know, what can we start to do location-based information? What geographic region has different trends going on? Are there different features in the Northeast versus in, you know, say, Texas and Arizona? Maybe climate control is not as important. Maybe it is. Maybe they're storing different sizes. We're also, because again, I touched on this earlier, we introduced a ton of different channels, Google Business, SMS, voice, email. We're excited to start breaking things down a little bit more around channels. What kind of channels are more likely to convert? What channels are more likely to close, say, a past due payment issue? And how does this impact operators? And then, you know, I think one of the things that we're looking at as a report as a whole, you know, we kind of went through this year and looked at, you know, your digital presence, your back of office, your physical location, is going through kind of each one of these areas and sectors and giving, the self-storage industry a grade. How well is the industry as a whole doing with, you know, automated gate access or call center technology? If you guys have any other ideas around things that we can do to make our next version of this report even more robust and better, again, we love the feedback. We appreciate everybody that's given us kudos for this year's report. It was definitely a labor of love. A big shout out to the entire data science team for all the hard work that they put into it.
All right, guys, that's a wrap. Again, please go ahead, if you haven't already, download the report on our site, trisol.com, and don't forget to listen and subscribe to our podcast. You can also find it at trisol.com/podcast. Until next time.
Thanks for nerding out with us today.
Oh, I forgot to say that Kyle was missed today.